Bingo. Okay. I am Pam Biswas, and this is Sandra McLeod, and today is November 3rd, and it is 4:30 p.m., and I'm conducting an interview with Sandra McLeod for Quilters SOS, Save Our Stories, a project of the Alliance for American Quilts. Sandra McLeod and I are at the International Quilt Festival in Houston, Texas. Sandra McLeod, will you tell me about the quilt that you brought for us today?
Well, I brought my chicken quilt because I thought it was humorous. I have a very nice quilt that I probably should have brought to you. But it's almost king size, and I didn't want to have to deal with the weight and the size, all that. And I thought this was fun. Not the kind of thing you're going to see from a lot of quilters.
How did you come to make a chicken quilt?
Well, my friend loves chickens, and I found a chicken pattern that I thought was cute, and I showed it to her, and she decided, she decided that we should all make chicken quilts, and so we exchanged chicken fabrics. We gathered and, you know, so that we would have a lot of variety to choose from. So we roped in a third person, so there were three of us making these chicken quilts. And we just had a lot of fun with it. So I did it really for her, for my friend.
What do you think someone could learn about you by looking at your chicken quilt?
Maybe that I have a sense of humor sometimes.
Sandra, how did you get into quilt making?
Well, this chicken friend took me to the Greater Houston Quilt Guild had a style show. And we were teaching at the same school, and she took me to this style show, and I became interested, and I don't really remember the times of everything, but I got into a wearables group and learned a lot of quilting techniques, and shortly discovered sometimes I couldn't finish a garment in time, just wasn't right. But I could work on a quilt forever, and when I finished it, it was perfect time. So I kind of switched over at some point and enjoyed looking at wearables, but when I get really right down to it, I'm going to make a quilt and not something wearable anymore.
So when you started, you were an adult, learn as a child?
Oh, no, I did not. I had a grandmother who quilted, and I slept under a quilt that she made, a wedding ring quilt from the 30s fabrics, you know, as a child. That was my quilt on my bed, and I have wonderful memories of that quilt. But my mother did not quilt. And I loved sewing, and so when I found quilting, I was just delighted. I loved to play with fabric and stroke it and pat it and admire it, and sometimes I cut it up and use it. So.
How many hours a week do you think you spend quilting?
Well, I belong to three groups that meet weekly. One group meets for 4 hours, the other are 2-hour groups. So right away I've got 8 hours there. And then At home, it just varies. So if I get really involved in a project, I might put everything else aside. But that time is just so hard to come by these days. But I do it as much as I can.
You mentioned guilds. Have you ever entered your quilts into shows?
Yes, I have. The one I have in the Lone Stars 3 was juried in to Houston. And this is the third time they've shown it here. And I have a quilt that won Best of Show for our Quilt Guild show 2 years ago, which just amazed me. But anyway, I'm just thrilled, you know. But I don't enter in a lot of stuff. I'm not very trusting. I carry my quilt down to Quilts Inc. and give it to them. And when they're through with it, they let me know, and I go and get it and take it home. I don't think I'd be very comfortable mailing my quilt off to things. I know a lot of people do, but I'm not going to crank out that many of them, and so they're very precious to me, the ones I have.
For you, what is the most pleasurable thing about making a quilt?
Oh, it's dealing with the color and the pattern and making all those decisions and deciding. I don't like to plan things out that much. I like to start with a pattern, and then I like to get some fabrics and start thinking about colors, and then I like to look at the borders after I get the center done to decide what, you know, I like to try out fabrics, kind of like you try on clothes. And then after I can't think of anything else to do with it, then I know it's done, so I quit. And that's whatever size it is. I tend to make lots of really big quilts. Just because I enjoy making the blocks, I think, or the designing or the appliquing or whatever. I like it all.
Do you have any idea how many quilts you've made?
No. I thought about that a while back, and I started trying to count, and it's over 50, but I don't know how many over. I make things for charity quilts, you know. I give a lot of my quilts away. My grandchildren have a lot of quilts. Their parents have some. Friends have some. Sometimes in our Sunday school class for a while, we had a lot of women that were dealing with breast cancer, and I made each one of them a quilt while they were going through their process of being treated and everything. So I don't know. And I make things for babies, and I forget about them, you know. I have fun making it, and then I'm done, and they can have fun with it or do whatever.
When you're making quilts, do you have like an entire room in your house dedicated for that?
Yes, I do. I have a rather large room. I guess it's about 10 by 20, I guess. And if I don't just work on one quilt at a time, I like to work on, well, I may have 10 to 20 started. And if I get tired of working on whatever that kind of stuff is on one quilt, well, then I switch to something else sometimes. Sometimes my brain needs to work on something, and I put that aside. So sometimes that room is really full. And most people would be horrified, I suppose. But I find I can work in there just fine with piles of this color and that color and stuff on the wall. And I keep two machines out. I have a little featherweight that I just love to piece with. And then I've got a Bernina that I do other stuff with. I've got a serger, but I don't touch it. Every time I do it, I don't know. I have a friend that comes over and rescues me and changes thread for me or something. Nice friend.
So you quilt on the domestic machine or lawnmower? Mm-hmm.
No, I have a domestic machine. That's when I quilt. I also have a quilter that just does beautiful things, and she's the one I... Well, my little chicken quilt, for instance, I had her quilt words like cluck cluck and peep peep and cheep cheep and cock-a-doodle-doo and all kinds of stuff like that in those chicken wire borders, you know. We just had fun with that. And she'll do whatever I ask most of the time. She's wonderful.
So you tell your quilter how you want it quilted?
Yes, usually.
What do you think makes a quilt great?
Well, I think the color and design, piecing, and applique. I like a quilt that has some of it all. A lot of times when a quilt is very geometric, I think that the applique softens it and adds a nice nuance to the quilt. That's what I think. That's not what everybody thinks. I think I'm more traditional. I like traditional patterns. Although I do use, I print pictures off, you know, on fabric, and I've got a collection of my mother's Valentines that I'm working with now that are from the 20s, and they're just, I made these heart blocks, and I put the Valentines on top of that heart block, and they're so cute, I decided I'd make one for each branch of the family, so I'm making four of them. But they're just little small wall hangings. I'm just putting 16 in each little quilt, you know. But I had more than 16 Valentines. I don't know who gets the collection when I'm gone, but anyway, they all get a quilt. So,
of all the quilters you know about, famous, not famous, who do you admire the most? Whose work do you admire the most?
Oh, golly, there are lots of people that just do fabulous work. And sometimes it's not a well-known name to me. I just wander up and down the aisles and just... I don't always agree with the judges. I'll say, this quilt doesn't have a ribbon? You know, it just, to me, is beautiful. And people put a lot of time into the wonderful things that are here. Lots of.
Do you feel like any particular person influenced you more than others?
No, I can't say. I just like so many. I used to watch Alex Anderson. And I learned a lot by watching the show and just hearing all the different people And sometimes I would think, oh my goodness, I would never do that. And then after I got more experienced, maybe that person, that segment would rerun. I'd watch it again. I'd just get so excited. I'd think, oh, yes, that's exactly what I need to do on this quilt. Because you grow as a quilter. And as you learn, then you become interested in doing and trying different things, I think.
Why do you think quilt making is important to you or in life in general?
Oh, I think it's a way of passing on a little bit of who I am to my family, perhaps. We'll see.
Do you think there are ways that the quilt reflects your community or your region?
I'm not sure. I hear them say Texas quilters like brighter colors than other parts of the region. But because I just like it all. Sometimes I use just in-your-face colors, and other times I go for more subtle things, and sometimes they're old-fashioned colors, and sometimes they're 30s colors, and so I can't say that they would be able to look at my quilts and say, oh, she lived in Texas. I don't know.
How do you think quilts can be preserved in our future?
Well, I think they're doing pretty good right now, really. And I think that there's a greater appreciation for the work. And, of course, people making art quilts now, they've brought a lot to people's minds, I think. People look at the art quilts and think about them in a different way, perhaps, than something you put on a bed and underneath a bedspread, maybe, you know. So I think the future is really bright for quilts. And I think so many women are finding it's a wonderful way to relax, get away from the stress, from whatever your life brings. And it gives you a lot of pleasure, I think, when you know, the more skill you bring to something, the more you enjoy it. So I think all those things work together. And I think also you can kind of justify making a quilt to yourself if you're working and really busy and everything. But you can think, well, I'm really making something for the bed or for the wall. Or I'm not just wasting my time just because I enjoy it. So there's a lot of that too, I think.
What do you think the biggest challenge is for today's quilters?
Well, finding money for the toys that you want to use, you know, is perhaps a challenge, finding the time to use them. And there's so many different ways of doing things. To find something that you would like to do in all this, sometimes it's a little, you know, people come to the quilt festival the first time and there's they're overcome with everything they see, and the booths and the quilts of all different kinds, and it would be really tough to know, you know, where do you start? So I think those could be some of the things. But if you just start a little bit at a time, it's no problem. You just keep going.
How do you feel about men getting into quilting?
Oh, it's great. We've got a bunch of men in our quilt guild. I don't think most of them do as well as we do, but it's okay. I love it. I'm not going to, oh, don't tell them that.
So we've talked a lot about a lot of different things. Can you think of something that you would just like, maybe I didn't mention it, didn't cover it, that you would like to add to the interview?
I am teaching my granddaughter to quilt. She's 8. And we have finished 2 quilts now. I have her doing little blocks. I just pick up scraps from my quilt room and I make strips a certain width. And I have her sew 2 together and then a fat chunk on the end. And we just put it in rows and it's just cute. And then she picks out the border, you know. And now I've got her working on a charity quilt. Now, her seams aren't always straight, and she likes to turn on the television while she's working. So she looks up and the seam goes like this. So those come out. You know, but I don't say anything to her. I just pick it out, and pretty soon I slip that to her again, say, sew this one. And I don't get to play with her all that often, but I'm hoping that, you know, this is teaching another generation the pleasure that I've had in this. So, I guess that's it.
I mean, that's a great way of passing it on. It's a great way of preserving our quilting. No better means than word of mouth, one generation to the next. I've really enjoyed hearing your story, and if there's nothing else that you would like to add, less opportunity.
I can't think of anything.
Well, I would say it is 4:48-ish. I'd like to thank Sandra McLeod for allowing me to interview her for the Quilter SOS Save Our Stories Oral History Project. And this concludes our interview for 58.